News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super duper duper glad to see you on the radio. I'm here, Mr. Rob Centers, on the other side of the glass, and he's all smiles this morning. He's glad that he gets to help out as our fabulous producer, so we appreciate his help and hard work, and he's done a yeoman's job lately, so we're going to send him home for a vacation next week. He needs some more time off to get a little bit of R&R after all of this stuff in recent weeks, so we're very glad that he gets some well-deserved time off. On the news line, though, with us now, Samantha Pearson is here. She is the executive director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street manager, Walk It, Bike It coordinator, one of the frequent through lines of the Radio Free Lewisburg podcast that's really been keeping people informed with fabulous interviews during the pandemic. And she's been helping us for a long time with transportation topics, environmentally oriented topics, and pandemic information, just to sound common sense advice, maybe doing some myth-busting occasionally as well. Good morning, Samantha. Thanks for checking in today.
Good morning, Mark. It's good to be here remotely.
I appreciate you checking in. Okay. Occasionally, we know that you and some other crews do cleanups in and around Lewisburg, so I want to mention this right off the bat, and then we'll mention it again during the second segment that we do at 7:40. Tell us about who initiates these and how have they gone in recent years, and even during COVID, there'll be a cleanup this Sunday.
That's right. We're going to do one of our community cleanups in Lewisburg. We're going to meet Sunday. It's going to run from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll meet at Kidsburg along St. Louis Street in Lewisburg as part of Popnagel Park. But we'll send people to a variety of spaces throughout town. It's like going for a walk with a trash grabber and a bucket or a bag to pick up litter. And this is something we've been doing for quite a few years now. Basically, I think our first one may have been in 2013. And we have coordinated multiple cleanups a year. And this year, we actually haven't done the other ones because of COVID. But we feel that we really can run this. It's outdoors. We can be distanced. People can wear masks when they're near each other at headquarters. And then, of course, when you're off on your assignment, you may just be with your own household and fairly separated from people. So I think there's a lot of flexibility and feasibility for it. We also know that so many people have been out walking and running and just enjoying the outdoors that there's actually extra trash. So it really does need to get done.
All right, so you're a little bit behind on the cleanup. I was going to ask that. Is there more trash out there? And one of the things you can tell us is that there is. That you do have to play some catch-up?
Yeah, we do. Definitely people have been discovering spaces like, the Little Piece of Rail Trail in town in Lewisburg has more trash. I would say the rest of the rail trail is sort of holding steady. On the one hand, there has been a lot of use and a lot of trash, but there are people who help out just on an ongoing basis on the main part of the trail. Those are people who are just willing to have their walk or ride take a little bit longer, and they will, when they see the trash, just, keep a bag with them and pick things up. We really appreciate that. It does turn it into a real community amenity, but there's other spaces in the borough that haven't really been, don't get that kind of attention. So like the Riverwalk down by the St. George Street boat ramp and Lewisburg Landing, that has had, a little bit of extra trash this year and things like that.
All right, so we invite folks to go to Hufnagel Park this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. Wear your mask and gloves and your cleanup clothing, and then you'll get dispersed to an appropriate location. One last question about that. Who's throwing this trash out there? Who walks down the street and says, I have this styrofoam container I don't need, whoop, out it goes. Where does this come from?
We could all ask ourselves that. People do need to think about who's responsible for this. Someone's doing it. I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. So sometimes it's an accident, right? Sometimes you drop something or something flies out of a car or something like that. Other times it's fairly intentional. We unfortunately even find, you know, bags that people have dumped, you know, little collections of stuff that were clearly packaged up. It's clearly people aren't really thinking and maybe are, you know, trying to save a little bit on their trash bill or something. But it's really unfortunate. We actually, our event is part of the International Coastal Cleanup event, which seems funny for Central PA, but our waterways and rivers and, you know, trash with rainfall flows downhill. Our waterways and rivers eventually connect to the ocean, and, you know, we have an oceanic trash problem, and it in part stems from our, you know, trash being arrayed across our local landscape.
Well, we heard from one local family that the masquerade was the funnest time they ever had in Lewisburg. So, review.
Wow.
Yeah, review quickly. When you're five, that's a scale that has, you know, some pretty decent stuff on it, you would think. But anyway, okay, so review that for us. Tell us how it went. Thank the sponsors again and give us a look back at that big event.
We just wanted to partly point out that you know, and remind people that this had happened. We did this. And, you know, also take the opportunity to point out that this really was, it wasn't an accident. You know, we held this big socially distanced event with masks on Market Street. We helped to socially distance by spreading the event out over many hours rather than having a real crunch for trick-or-treating hours. We spread it out from 11 a.m. through 7 p.m. And so it really did bring all sorts of people downtown, all sorts of creatures, because everyone was in their costumes. We had a variety of different activities they could do, from walking, you know, along the orange carpet in and showing off for the webcam at the campus theater under the marquee, to we had backdrops and a roving professional photographer taking pictures. We had candy giveaways throughout the day. And so all of this, it was a fairly huge project, and our core organizing groups was Lewisburg Neighborhoods, the Downtown Partnership, the borough itself, the Children's Museum, the Campus Theater, and the Lewisburg Area School District Elementary PSA, the Parent Student Association. And all those groups really coordinated together to bring this off. And then we got support from community members, people help donate to cover the cost of candy, and to you know, we built the back framework for some of the backdrops. High school students in the art program created one of the backdrops for us, a spooky backdrop. You know, it was really an all hands on deck. And then we had some great sort of commercial sponsors from EXP Realty, Remax Bridges, also a realtor. We had help from the Bucknell Community Grant Fund, the Lewisburg Area School District Key Club, the Area Agency on Aging, the Kiwanis Club of the Buffalo Valley, Lewisburg Builder Supply. You know, this was Coldwell Banker helped out too. This was really very much a group effort. Oberdorf provided our orange carpet. So we wanted to acknowledge that you know, just happened, and thank everyone for helping out with it. But we also wanted to use that, not necessarily as a template, although we've already met and done some debrief, and we are hoping to do it again next year. We are thinking that even if there's no COVID, it was a fun event. It would look different if we're done with COVID, and if we're not done with COVID, it will still be needed. But we want to offer this also for people to think about how we re-envision, just temporarily, what our holidays are going to look like this year. It did take a lot of work, and but I think it's really important to note what you did at the beginning. It can be really fun, right? It doesn't have to be the ruination of everything to adapt our holidays and celebrations to COVID.
We typically see a lot of relatives over the Thanksgiving Day, and after we announced that the state secretary of health said maybe you shouldn't see all of your relatives in close quarters, one of my colleagues says, oh, thank God. Yes, you always want. It's kind of like a push me, pull you thing at some family events or sometimes. Well, I think you deserve kudos. You in particular and others really deserve a great thank you for making sure that this fell together. And the key was that you just had to think big and say, okay, well, we certainly know that kids like to do this and families like to do these things. Downtown is a great place. We just have to envision it in a different way, and that really worked out. All right, well, we're going to spend...
Great.
Please, go ahead, elaborate.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that there are other ways. Like, there are turkey trots, there are, you know, outdoor events and activities, and while Grandma might not be able to do the trot, a lot of people in your family might actually be able to do a walk, and Grandma, we can bundle her up, we can provide her with a heater, you know, and she can observe. You know, you can meet with people outdoors. We just really want to, you know, just flip a switch and start thinking, you know, keeping people apart, keeping people outdoors, and, you know, incorporating masks wherever we can. So probably not eating communally as much either.
Well, when we come back at 7:40, I'm going to ask you to elaborate on a remark. I think maybe you brought it up, or maybe I did. This idea is that a lot of folks said, well, the pandemic is strictly politically motivated. Of course, the 2,800 people who got it yesterday apparently didn't vote or something, because the numbers are still going up. So we'll explore that remark and talk about how the pandemic is still happening, and I'm going to have to ask you to put on the myth-busting hat again, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Samantha, thank you so much for this information so far. LewisburgNeighborhoods.org if you want to get more information about some of the things that we've talked about. And she's going to come back at 7:40 this morning. Samantha, you'll stand by?
Yes, thanks.
All right, so you hold on. And Samantha Pearson, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Executive Director, Elm Street Manager, Walk It, Bike It Coordinator, and one of the many folks that made sure Masquerade was a blast last weekend in Lewisburg. She'll be back at 7:40.
Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super glad to see everybody on the radio. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, always taking good care of us in every way, so we always appreciate his help and hard work. We're right in the middle of our discussion with Samantha Pearson, Executive Director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager, and Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. I didn't deliberately do it as a method to irritate her, but I'm sure it probably did when I say, oh, the pandemic's over since November 3rd is here, and a lot of folks said, hey, this was all political. Once the election's over, we'll have smooth sailing. Let's do a reality check here, please, Samantha.
Sure. Yeah, that was a little annoying. But basically, I think one thing is with Election Day passed, actually, I do feel like it's time to get back to talking about it because there have been people convinced that it was all about the election. Election Day is over. Let's talk about the pandemic. Let's just remind ourselves that it isn't gone and that actually the best anti-pandemic thing you can do, the best anti-lockdown thing you can do is to promote masks. So that unfortunately doesn't seem to go together, but that's really what we need to focus on, right? We need to focus on mitigation strategies, and masks are one of those really critical tools. We have a couple others, like staying outside, you know, improving ventilation, hygiene, which I know that there's less emphasis on that than there was early on, but we still need to be washing our hands and doing the normal things, which unfortunately aren't as normal as they should have been even a year ago. But, you know, there are still these things, you know, we could still be distancing. Those are all the things we need to be doing, figuring out how to incorporate into our lives and really committing to in order to avoid lockdowns. That's the whole point, right? We want to figure this out, make this workable to the extent possible, try to recover our economy to the extent possible, and masks and distancing and hygiene, and staying home if you have had a known exposure or think you have any symptoms. Those are really our key
key tools.
Why are we worried about the pandemic? We see death rates are still low, though they're climbing now, and lots of people are getting it more than ever before, literally more than ever before. In Pennsylvania, the recovery rate is quite high. Tell us why we should still take the pandemic very seriously.
Sure. I want to remind people about, I know people keep saying, we have more than ever before. What we have are more confirmed cases than ever before. We're doing a lot of testing, and we have tested and confirmed that at this point, both in our state and nationally, we have more than we've ever tested for before. That is not the same as saying we have more than we ever had in a given day previously. We just didn't know how many we had. In fact, retroactive testing from the spring, was published in the summer, pointed out that basically the confirmed tests from the spring wave were an underestimate by about a factor of 10. So while we in the spring had a peak of around 25,000 cases per day, we have to understand that that was probably more like 200,000, maybe 250,000. We don't really know. And there is some variability. One fairly well-regarded study looked at several, like 10 different locations, and got factors between 6 and 24. So, but 10 seems to be a fairly good, rule of thumb. So in that respect, you know, we need to lay off with the most cases ever. It's the most confirmed cases, but we are probably about a third of a way up that initial peak level. So that's good news. That means that we could divert. We could level off and head back down again, like we did in the middle of the summer, where our peak again was higher than it was early in the spring, but leveled off in that case at around 65,000 new cases confirmed per day. So that got up to that point and then dropped off. We knew that there were, quote, fewer deaths associated with those cases, but again, that's because there had actually been many more cases in that first wave. So we just need to put this in perspective, use information that we have, and I you are not the only one. I mean, definitely everyone in the media is doing this, just saying, most cases per day hit the new record. I'd rather we talk about what our trajectory is. Our case numbers, our incidence rates are going up. Therefore, it will be, on average, higher, on subsequent days. But we also need to, again, think about this in the perspective of the previous wave. So it's better to look at hospitalization rates and, sadly, death rates to get a better sense. The death rates lag by so much that can be hard to use as an indicator. Death rates, reported deaths associated with confirmed cases, can be behind by 2 to 6 weeks. And so that makes it something we can look at in the rearview mirror, but not as effective at warning us when we're hitting a danger zone. Hospitalization rates, on the other hand, are only lagged by a little bit, basically between like 3 days and 2 weeks.
Should I take any solace from the fact that recovery rates are high? You said that we're doing more testing. We may still have less of the disease present, but we know for those people who do get it, the recovery rates slowly climb.
This is a favorite topic. In fact, there was a letter article in the Daily Item, My Turn, that really focused on the recovery rates and how the recovery rate is, quote, rising. So that trend is going upward. It really emphasized that. To be honest, that seems like a bit of a red herring. We know, or we think we know, that the infection fatality rate, like the death rate from this disease, is only around 1% of actual cases, the actual total number of cases. We're not quite sure. It may be 1, it might be 1.5%, might be even a little below 1. Either way, 1% is 10 times higher than the death rate for the flu. So use that as a rule of thumb. And then so if that's the case, that means that the people who will recover will be almost, 98.5 to 99% of people. Since we haven't been testing as much, as we test more and we get capture more of the cases, we will also capture the asymptomatic and less intensive cases, less dangerous cases. What we know is that recovery rate is going to be what's called asymptotic to. It's going to approach, it's going to sort of trend towards and approach that total recovery rate, which will be like 99.5. So it will be trending up. The fact that it's trending up is not particularly informative, however. That the fact that our cases are trending up is more informative, because that has to do with sort of unknowns about who is getting it, who is who has greater vulnerabilities, who is putting mitigation measures into place and versus not, and therefore will continue to spread it further. Whereas this recovery rate, like I said, we already know that it's trending towards around 98.5, 99%, which is great, but again, we got to work backwards. The 1% to 1.5%, if we took that out of the entire, say, state's population or county's population or country's population or world's population, is a really big number. And that's the issue. Like, not everyone gets the flu in any given year. Whether it's because they have some lingering immunity, they have a vaccine, they're, you know, taking other measures. There's, you know, we have exposure to it, but we do not have novel exposure to it. And this situation is very different. So if you imagine, like, even 50% of the population of an entire place, say 50% of Union County would be around 25,000 people, and then you imagine 1% of that 25,000 people is 250 people dying. And that's a lot of people. That is way more people than die of the flu in Union County in any given year. Like, by two orders of magnitude? This is all very hard, because a lot of people can't keep track of what's 1%, you know, what's 0.1%. Like, we get into big numbers and people get a little bit lost. I had one person arguing vehemently on about numbers in Georgia, who, it was like one of those Gilda Radner moments from Saturday Night Live from decades ago, where she'd go on and on, and then someone would be like, oh, actually, it was something totally different, and be like, never mind.
Well, maybe you see it. Well, we're actually out of time almost here. So I'll just let you summarize for COVID-19, the pandemic. Go ahead and wrap up important points that relate to that.
The important points are, it's still with us, but we have the power to do something about that. So we all need to double down on mask, distancing, hygiene, and paying attention if we have been had an exposure or have some symptoms. We have the power to crush lockdowns, avoid lockdowns, and reestablish our economic vitality.
All right. Well, that was even more succinct than you needed to be. Contact information if I want to get more information about all the things. And go ahead and reiterate that you got a clean up Sunday. We got one more minute.
Sure. So you can find out stuff about Lewisburg neighborhoods, including COVID-related stuff, at lewisburgneighborhoods.org. You can also look at the regional Spotlight Orange webpage for information. And our cleanup this Sunday will be from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll meet at Kidsburg in Huffnagel Park, and it will incorporate masks and distancing and hygiene, and will help us clean up, improve hygiene in our borough as well.
All right, and this is an opportunity for folks to participate, lewisburgneighborhoods.org. Samantha, thank you so much for checking in. We'll talk again in the weeks ahead, so thanks for all you're doing.
Great to talk to you, Mark.
Samantha Pearson, Executive Director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager, Walk It, Bike It Coordinator, with information about the cleanup this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. Am I getting that right? And also this idea that there is a pandemic still happening around here. So we appreciate her help and information and all that she's done to help us. So it's this Sunday. Okay, so rapidly corrected. That didn't take long. Yeah, this Sunday, the cleanup in Lewisburg, 2 to 4 p.m.